If I were my 20 years old, most probably I would focus on a different business. So to avoid such situation, first, you need to have very strong relationship with Facebook. And it's not easy.
Okay, thank you so much for stopping by, Hussein, and welcome to PA.
Thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. So finally, everyone got to see the face behind Interesting Engineering. It was unknown for myself for a couple of years. Then we started connecting on Instagram, probably. Yeah, now everyone will learn the stories behind IE. So to start, can you share a little bit about your background and also what inspired you to start Interesting Engineering?
Okay. Again, thanks for the invitation. I love what you are building, and it's a pleasure to be here. Interesting Engineering is my passion. It has been 13 years since I opened the blog. I created it as a personal blog at university days, and it was in my preparation school, end of preparation school. And I just wanted to have a website. Like I was interested in technology and science, engineering, but I was very much interested in websites. So I created a Blogspot blog. You don't need to have any expertise and such. Just create a Facebook page, like an Instagram account. You create a username and a password, and you have the website. But of course, I was studying electrical engineering that time, and it was also something encouraged me. So I created the blog, added some articles, like 30 articles around the web, but I don't know anything about what is traffic, what's a website exactly. I was just using it as a notepad, and I added like 30 articles, 40 articles something, and I left it. By the way, I was creating everything at my father's internet coffee shop. I was helping him. So I just opened the blog there. And after 2 months, I left everything because I had exams at the university. So that 2 months was my midterm time. And after coming back after the exams, I saw that there is 1,000 people visiting the website every day. Yeah, that started the story. And with the social media's help, especially Facebook, it came to current level. There was no any idea to create a media company or something. But so I am after my passion. So I was pursuing my passion. So here it is.
That's how you started this. You have now a big empire of a media company. To be an empire, it's quite big enough, but
like it has a big audience base, but it's not exactly like a very huge. Like there are so huge companies.
There. Yeah. What was the biggest jumps that you had after the blog post, moving to website, interestingengineering.com? And then you started also focusing a little bit video on the video content, mainly Facebook.
Yeah. So after seeing this 1,000 people visiting the site, I have applied for AdSense, Google AdSense that time, and they accepted my application after 6 months. But it seems like I didn't leave it because it's a passion. I wasn't after earning money or such things. And I created a Facebook page. Facebook pages were growing that time. Just TikTok pages are growing now. It was just like that. And I created the page at the right time. And that page made the boost. And that page helped the blog to grow. And the traffic, 1,000 traffic increased to 5,000, to 10,000, to 50,000 to 100,000 in 5 years. And when I graduated in 2013, June, I think Facebook page had 1 million followers that time. Yeah, like mainly Facebook helped us to grow. That's a huge
milestone, yeah.
Yeah, that's the main booster is Facebook page.
Okay, cool. And you continued, you kept this going until you built up a team, or was the team from the beginning, involved from the beginning? How was the formation of team and your company having a base in Istanbul? How did that happen?
So after 2013 June, I graduated from the electrical engineering department of University of Gaziantep. So what happened is that, so I studied engineering and I have a website, a Facebook page, earning some good money, but I need to do my job as an engineer. So I look for jobs.
Oh my God. Okay.
And they offered me wage salary and such. They said to me that you will work every day, just maybe Sundays you will be off. And it was all about like the maintenance departments of some factories in Gaziantep. And I didn't accept. I focused on interesting engineering for the first year after graduation. And like the thing is that it has grown more. And I started to earn better money and such. And I stopped looking for a job. But there was always a thing that you need to do this engineering job. As you are an engineer, what you are doing at home. Like people were thinking that I'm just playing games. And it was a problem for me. So I went to military. I left everything to a friend of mine at university. He was studying mechanical engineering. He was from Nigeria. And he took over everything from me, and I hired two freelancers, one from Brazil, one from Dominican Republic. He was my video editor, but there was no company, nothing.
Okay.
Because everything was under my father's bank account, PayPal. And at that time in Turkey, PayPal wasn't blocked, so everything was like not formal. So it was a little bit funny, but hard to manage. And you didn't pay any tax and such. But this tax payments came me after.
Oh, my God.
After a few years, they sent me a paper. I paid a good amount of tax that time.
With penalties and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But my father paid. I didn't. I mean, it was. I had nothing to do like formally with that. So everything was like my father's. But obviously, like, I handled it. Yeah, like, after that, after the military, I went to UK to work at Jaguar for a few months. And during my time in UK, the Facebook page has grown significantly. And after seeing huge numbers, traffic, like, the traffic became, like, 150K per day page views. And
wow.
I called my father that I'm coming back because anymore I want to create a company.
I need to save the company.
Yeah, I have to create a company because you can't grow if you are not a company. Like there are a lot of things, like bureaucratic things you need to manage.
Of course.
Yeah, after that I have come back to Gaziantep, created a company first time in 2016 June. Like I created a blog in 2010. And I created a formal company in 2016 June, long time.
Yeah, 6 years.
Yeah, I lost so much time to build further. But
I'm gonna ask about that. But go ahead.
Okay, so yeah, after the formation of the company, things became more formal. I created the company in Gaziantep, worked with a few freelancers and a few employees that remotely in Istanbul, like 2 years. 2 years, yeah. And then I moved to Istanbul to grow the company. So I came, I first time managed a team in the office. It was a very harsh year for me. I learned a lot of things, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Definitely, there are so many challenges of building a company the way you did, which is called bootstrapping. And what were your main challenges? Of building IE until now? And the second question could be, what if you could go back to 2010 and start IE from scratch again? What would you do differently that would affect the future of the company?
So for the second question, I can reply it first.
Yes.
I would look for people who were experts on that, like, because I didn't know anything to grow the business, to make it something. And it was the time startups are like growing in Turkey, and I could be huge now, like bigger than current version. But I missed that train. I didn't find a mentor, and I had the biggest problems in management. The first question was,
yeah, about the challenges. Challenge. Which you're now.
The biggest challenge is the experience, management experience of me at the first few years, because you don't have any management experience, and even I don't have any employment experience. Just 6 months in UK, so you don't have empathy to change the shoes with the employees, and also you don't have management experience, so you are making a lot of mistakes, hiring mistakes, like you behave bad to employees. And you can't understand things, like a lot of things are happening. So you are spending your whole year with this kind of unrelated things. You can't focus on the job, but you focus on this kind of things. Since then, my biggest issue was team, creating a talented team, because you are building an international publication, an English publication, and out of Turkey. So when that happens, you need to find people who are really experts in English, like not speaking, but creation, content creation, yes, video production. And it's very hard to find people who can produce content for international audiences. It's the biggest challenge. The education system in the country is not that good. It's becoming worse, in my opinion, every year. And the talent gap is growing. And another problem is very high quality talent left the country. So we have to do remote hirings. And personally, I'm not good at remote
work,
team management. People are thinking like we can work better as like at home, but when it comes to growing the company and managing the team, I don't have that ability to manage people remotely. And it's another challenge. And since the pandemic, every hire expects that, but you need to, I'm fond of hybrid work, but the team should be really good at that level so you can give such privileges.
Yes, of course. And definitely the management is a huge topic, and a very important in the role that it plays in the growing of the company and the teams, the talents. It's extremely important to have the right person in the right place to focus on that part of the work, and without this it's not possible to grow.
Yeah, and also you are doing bootstrapping. You are just yourself, single founder. You are taking all the mental load. So you are always at risks. Like if there is something bad, you are the responsible person. Of course, if there is good things, you are also responsible. But generally, like bad things make you really stressful and like frustrated every time. So it's another challenge.
Fortunately. And talking about the main focus point of interesting engineering and also yourself, what emerging trends in engineering and technology you are mostly excited about?
So as a business? Or
yes, like, as a business, yes. What are the main focuses of interesting engineering?
So interesting engineering has grown with eyeballs. It means like we had a lot of impressions, viewership until now. And we use that on Facebook especially. But in recent years, the competition is growing. Everybody became content creators. And algorithms are trying to adapt this every day. And the things you built are anymore not working fine. And these algorithm changes are affecting your reach, your ability to earn money.
Are you hit a lot by the algorithms in Google, Facebook, Instagram?
Yeah, it's Google and Facebook mainly, because they are our main traffic sources and video viewership are coming from those channels. But they are generally like changing the algorithm to adapt to recent change in the last few years. Plus this year, AI came on board and everybody became, again, a content creator, and it's becoming huge. And so that created another problem. Google, for example, is trying to adapt that and changing the algorithm every month to 3 times. Normally, they were changing a few times in a year. Now they are changing every month, and it's affecting all our reach. And that's a challenging thing for us. So we are trying to become more niche. So just like parametric architecture.
Hopefully.
You were doing the right job at the beginning, since the beginning. I mean, of course, like there are huge companies focusing on page views, impressions, but it's really hard because your company is dependent on those platforms. Their single algorithm change can kill you. So we focused on interesting part of interesting engineering for years. We focused on technology, science news, engineering news, not with in-depth details. We have in-depth details content, but it's just 10% of our whole content production. So what we are doing now is we want to focus on the engineering part of interesting engineering. So we will be focusing on engineers, people who are studying engineering, and engineering leaders. So we will be focusing on those audiences. And our main focus will be niche content and reliable content. So in the current system, everybody became content creator, but validation of this content, trustability of this content is another problem. So people will be eventually looking for trustable sources. So in engineering, there are a lot of Facebook page, Instagram page, a lot of page, but when it comes to real media, it's not that much. So we want to be the top platform for engineers. So that's our goal. We want to be like that. So we have a podcast as well, but we will be increasing the frequency. We have webinars coming. We have workshops coming. And we are planning to launch a product for engineers to provide them databases and more unique insights they can't find anywhere else. So like focusing and making it smaller but high quality.
Right. And obviously you mentioned about AI and how it's affecting the publishing industry, and the creative community is also affected with this a lot. And also the challenges that you have faced with algorithms changes. First of all, I want to ask, what is the solution and what are you trying? Probably you mentioned this a little bit about the goals that you're having with webinars and different newsletters. What are you mostly focused on to solve those challenges with algorithm changes, impression-based models that are now affecting fluctuations of algorithms in Google and Facebook?
I mean, AI is, I believe, changing firstly our industry, production industry. So even you can create very real images with AI, content creation is the top thing. So it has challenges. It's changing the media landscape, in my opinion. And there are a lot of competition now. It's increasing every day. And like, others started to take part of the cake. So your part is going smaller every day. So that's why the solution for us is adapting AI into our operations as well. So it's increasing the efficiency at the other at the same time. Like, it's affecting our main business, but also affecting it's also bringing efficiency. So we are using AI in our video operations, script creation, voiceovers. We are using it for SEO, keywords generations, like a lot of things, image generation. It helps our video team to create content. Like, if we can't find a visual to just present something, we just create it with AI and it helps us as well. But this is not bringing revenue to the company yet that much because it's a very new thing. So that's the challenge for us. We are trying to be trying to adapt to a new system, but as you are bootstrapping, it's very challenging because you need to earn every month to invest to your team, your company again. But while your traffic is decreasing, you are building different content ideas, but it's not easy to just launch these things, earn money.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge for us. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely, with these new technologies, all industries are changing, and AI is changing the landscape of publishing industry as well. What do you think the future will look like for publishers in the next 5 years, let's say?
So publishers are becoming, like, in my opinion, creators will take over publishers.
I also heard this story that one news that is being created on any website is not gaining that much income, that if that a creator comes and makes a reel out of it and publishes it on TikTok, they earn more than the writer that who wrote that news on the website. Unfortunately, this is true.
Yeah, it's like creators are becoming, if creators become popular that much, they're also becoming publishers. Yes. Because they have to hire people. They can't do everything themselves because they are getting a lot of sponsorship deals. They need to create different content because people's expectations are increasing.
But the main source of those content creators are the news that they're reading from the internet or the...
Yeah, but they can also create themselves because when they create teams, they're also able to create original content, and they are becoming... also, the thing is that people love faces and people want to interact with faces and creating emotional connection. And they are more interested in the content in that format. So for us, how we can change this as publishers is that we have to deal with creators. So we are currently we are building newsletters at Interesting Engineering in different engineering verticals, and each newsletter is written by a LinkedIn influencer, LinkedIn content creator, a person, a real person who is spending some few hours every week and creating those newsletters. So we are building future of IE with creators. In my opinion, this is the future. But as I said at the beginning of the podcast, the thing is that trustable content, reliable content creation in the mid of fake content generation, AI content generation, is becoming so important. So publishers come on board, reliable sources come on board in this situation. So it will change shape. It will never die, but it will change shape, and publishers have to deal with content creators and build a feature together. But as I said, like content creators, there is also a term like it's for everybody. Burnout. Creator burnout is a big thing nowadays. Creator burnout, because they are doing things, but it's increasing because their fame is increasing. The content they create is increasing significantly. And they have to deal with these management things. So the things I experienced at the beginning of my Istanbul move, they are like having this kind of issues because they are content creators. They are not company owners. They are not managers. They don't know. They don't have management experience or such things. And it's becoming hard for them to manage that. And that's where creator's burn is happening.
Yeah. And also there was this topic that also was mentioned by someone in Google, that they said 8 out of 10 articles or things that are being published on the internet are replication, or they're not new stuff. And all the platforms are look for news, and one news is being published 100 times all over the world, and there are so many content created about that. There are so many videos, so many For example, Neon publishes a new project in architecture, let's say. There are hundreds of thousands of websites that are publishing the same news with the same videos, with the same visuals. And this is just, there's no capacity for the internet, of course, but this is just a repetitive stuff that are being going out there.
So it's how news industry is working. Like everybody is using and giving credentials for yes. others and trying to create news for their own audience.
Yes.
It might be same news, but you need to just catch the unique angle there and make that article more
specific
original.
For yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, more original, and editorial language should be for your own audience. Yeah. How you can make it more original is like maybe you can invite an expert talk about this, or you can
reach out
to Neom mm-hmm. and they can mm-hmm. help you to find an expert from their team to yeah. talk more about this. So this is making difference, but of course, like if there are a lot of big brands who have contacts of this and they are taking over this, but Google is focusing on, as far as I see, more originality because of those things. Like
yes.
with AI, generative AI, this became obvious.
Yeah,
so
of course.
That's why I believe there's a lot of change happening in mm-hmm. in the Google algorithm. They are trying to code their system to catch such things.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
the thing is that I pay journalists to create content, and then ChatGPT or similar generative AI tools are using your
yeah.
sources, rephrasing it in different tools,
nice.
And then it's creating an original piece.
Yeah.
But it looks like similar for everybody now. It's more. The percentage increased. So that's why like people at some level people would be looking for some original things.
Of course. Of course. And you talked about the different newsletters that you're working on. I'm subscribed to some of them. AI Logs, Mechanicals. And what are the target audiences for these?
So we are trying to create separate segmentations mm-hmm. for different engineering audiences. Mm-hmm. We are not planning to create millions of subscribers for each newsletter, but mm-hmm. we want to bring the most talented, experienced, and successful people in that vertical. So we want to be the go-to source for example, mechanical engineers and mechanical technicians and such people who working in mechanics and those areas. We want to create content and serve them, and of course like niche content, high quality content from the experts. So the writer of mechanical is, for example, a successful mechanical engineer who is in the industry of this industry, and he's like reporting from the original content, mm-hmm. original mm-hmm. sources, and he gets everything. So what our plan is creating in different engineering verticals and focus more on engineering content.
Mm-hmm.
And in the, of course, long term, the goal is like driving people to our other products mm-hmm. for engineers,
yeah.
sell workshops and such as well.
But newsletters are gaining some popularity these days, and because it's not like previous one that people were just sending spams. Right now, newsletters are becoming more key features of getting news on a daily basis from just one source or from different sources. It's good to always definitely follow the technology, also have an eye on the technologies that are being used, the ways that are being used before. Because as I said, newsletters were mostly spammings before, until maybe 2021. But there are now platforms that are revolutionizing the newsletter business, and it's becoming a real business for some.
Yeah,
platforms.
It was an old dated. It's an old dated
yeah.
thing, newsletter
yeah.
HTML in
yeah.
your inbox. But now it's becoming different. There are two newsletter companies,
mm-hmm.
The Hustle and Morning Brew. They started this. And after them, every publisher is
yeah.
creating newsletters,
yeah.
including us.
Mm-hmm.
This is happening in my because people are very busy anymore. Like
mm-hmm.
they are busy with life, they are driving cars, they are checking Instagram, they are looking their phones every
mm-hmm.
second. They are so busy, and to get high quality, reliable information, they don't have time. So, and they need to dig into online sources. And now it's becoming harder because there are a lot of, when you write Google, you can see a very simple blog for something you're looking for. Maybe it's not trustable. You may not trust. So you need to look another another source. And it, always you are searching and it takes time. So when you have such newsletters that are trustable and you can get weekly or daily, like 5 minutes reading and getting information from the things you are interested in, is something very cool.
Yeah.
So that's why it's growing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And with all these experiences that you have now in the publishing and media industry, media business, I don't know if you would recommend anyone to join media business, but what kind of advice would you like to share with young talents?
So the people who are interested in media, in my opinion, they should focus on niche media, because the thing is that you are building, but then a few algorithm changes are hitting your brand, your business. So it's not becoming a business. It's like the playing the game of Google or Facebook or other monopolies. So I recommend focusing on niche media businesses if they are into media. But media is very hard in terms of copyrights, content quality. It's like you are producing a product every day. So when you make a product, like you do every day, you don't do every day. You work on different parts of the product and make it perfect at the end of the day. But in media, especially in publishing business, you are creating the product every day. Your product is your content. You need to check legal things. You need to reach the main sources. You need to make it SEO compatible. You need to get traffic. And this is like a very hard job. Yeah. So I didn't enter media business like with my intention. It was a passion I followed, and it brought me to here. But if I were my 20 years old, most probably I would focus on a different business.
What is your passion? What would you focus on back then, if you were in?
Like I'm an engineer, and I like hardware. My audience is just like me, interesting engineering audience. Like they love hardware stuff. Hardcore engineering and such. So my passion is like more nowadays, like creating products, hardware products. It can be like an electric bike, or it can be a drone, it can be anything. But like I as a startup, if we grow and maybe exit, at that time, most probably I will focus on something like that.
So you want to build physical things.
Yes, I want to build physical things. I don't want to deal with internet stuff.
Okay.
Or like from the business perspective, this is not like, of course, a passion or such, but
yeah,
I would be building something independent of others. So
what could that be?
I mean, it can be application. Actually, it's the new business model we are focusing on right now. Like, it's just to become independent publisher, to own your own audience. Like, for example, we have 2 million LinkedIn followers, but they are not our own land. It's not our own land.
LinkedIn.
So they can say that, hey, you made a mistake. It's a copyright issue. I'm closing your account. Goodbye. And you lost 2 million people.
But you also have a big voice on LinkedIn. No, you publish your stuff and you almost have like 90,000, 100,000 followers.
Yeah, I I'm like an influencer.
LinkedIn, an engineering influencer on LinkedIn.
Yes, kind of. But the thing is that,
and that's your personal channel.
I'm my personal page. But I publish interesting engineering. I don't create content myself. So I shared the content my team created, and I boosted with interesting engineering. So it reached millions of people. And
I was checking a lot of prominent names in engineering that are following.
Yeah, there are a lot of people following us in engineering, and like people send message to me that they love our content and such. So. But it's like utilizing this LinkedIn audience, your own audience is very hard. Converting them into something different is very hard. So we have like, I would be preferring having just 100,000, not net 100,000, 50,000 subscribers to Interesting Engineering to 25 million followers, 25 million followers.
Yeah.
Because it's not ours.
Yeah, engaging and your own subscribers, of course. That makes a huge count, and those followers that you have on social media, they can just go away on the blink of an eye. We had a secondary page on Instagram that it got closed for some copyright issues. Some people reported us a year ago, and now Instagram took action. Our page was closed for two months.
It's also very challenging. We had this kind of things all the time.
Yeah.
In 2019, every morning I wake up, I was checking my phone, and it was logged me out. I was checking and I'm logged out.
Oh my God, that happened to us yesterday, 2 days ago.
On Facebook?
Instagram.
Yeah, it was happening me every morning, and I was checking. Someone randomly reported me for something. So to avoid such situation, first, you need to have very strong relationship with Facebook. And it's not easy. The second thing is you need to create pure original content. Nobody can report you. So, but for our kind of stuff, we are more like aggregators. Like we are creating content from different sources. And it's original, but it's created with different sources, crediting different sources. So in such scenario, people are reporting you. Even you remove the content, they are sending a strike, your page quality is dropping. It's like a game.
They're asking for money, like for getting the page back again. We Instagram sent us that these guys reported you. We reached out to them and some of them asked for money.
Like the thing is that, so there is a fair use thing in the internet. So if you are using someone's content 100%, of course it's a problem. You need to get permission for it. But if that person is giving a credit, like mentioning that you can use it with credits or under Creative Commons, you can use it obviously. But we prefer like paying the person
to use the content.
But you have a big team, everybody's creating content. Sometimes they can't catch it. You are publishing it, and then someone is coming, hey, you used my content without my permission. Then we are paying that person to keep the content. We are also removing it sometimes, but we generally prefer paying that person because that person is the creator of that content. But of course, like this is happening by mistake generally.
Yeah. You're also based in New York, and your company is based also in New York. And how large is your team now?
So we have established our first company in Gaziantep in 2016, June. Then after a few years, I have moved to Istanbul. Around 2019. When I moved to Istanbul, I have created a company in United States. Because at that time, for example, Facebook was opening video monetization only for US-based companies. So you were publishing in English content, video. You were doing video production, but no monetization. So who will be paying this? You know, like you are just freely putting content to Facebook. So that time we created a company there, and we had to sell our IPs, intellectual property rights, from Gaziantep to US company. And that's why we created a US company. I have never been to US at that time. Then the US company created a Turkish company for the Turkish team here. So the thing is that the company was in US since 2019. My first visit was after company formation. And I was going and coming just to learn the international publishing industry because it's something different. You don't have that know-how in Turkey. So you need to go meet those people. They have built such businesses from scratch. and they are very experienced, and you can get a lot of things from them. So, and it's a powerful network. There is a powerful network. So I moved to New York this year, at the beginning of this year, 2023, just to meet people, to learn more about English publications and the media businesses. And it's helping me a lot. But it's a little bit challenging to manage the team from there because the time difference. And you don't see them, and remote job. I can't handle it that much. So my first year was challenging. I will see how it will go. But main team is in Istanbul. It will become 26, 27, something like that. We have a team in India. I guess six people in India. We have three, four people in UK. These are full time. So in full time, we have around 38 something. 38-40, but we have also like a lot of freelancer contractors around the world. They are helping us to build AI.
So this could be like around 50 people.
Yeah, I can say that. It was higher than that. This year was challenging. We had to lay off some people, unfortunately, because of the challenges happening in media industry and the economic downturn in the world at the beginning of the year. It was also a reason, but generally after Google's traffic changes and Facebook's volatility, we had to lay off some people.
I can imagine. Obviously, New York and London are the heart of the capital for publishers, and
because they built a lot of newspapers 100 years
news
ago.
News empires, even. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Hussein. This is a very nice conversation. Do you want to add anything on top of this? And maybe a friendly advice for younger generation and those who are seeking content creation or publishing or any other thing? Maybe you can give them an advice.
I'm sure most of the young generation wants to become YouTuber.
Influencer and YouTuber.
My own niece. She wants to become a YouTuber. When she saw the YouTube plates we got, she asked me.
You're already over a million on YouTube.
Yeah,
right?
Over a million. So we had two for 100,000 and for 1 million. And she asked me this, and she asked me how I can do this. So she's 6 years old. Like, for the young generation, will obviously be more engaged with the internet. But for people who want to build business, as I said, like I would prefer like building niche media businesses and own their own audience. Like they should, of course, it's easier to build audiences on TikTok, Instagram, especially TikTok is the booster nowadays. So it can be a start point. But generally, like I would recommend having their own audience and build a media company over it. So that's my suggestion. Thanks so much for invitation.
Thank you so
much. We would be happy to invite you as well.
Of course, looking forward
to Lexicon. Yeah.
Thank you so much.